Here we are in the Congressional Corner with David Hawkins, editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government, otherwise known as Good Luck Charlie. He's also a former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call. Okay, I'm going to ask you a broad question. So what do you think? In other words, what do you think of what's going on right now?
Well, you know, too soon to tell. I mean, sort of, obviously a shocking, even though we all knew it was coming, the events of, as I think I wrote, it was a peaceful transfer of power, albeit with 25,000 National Guard troops in the streets. Too soon to tell whether all of the, quite soothing and moving ceremonies and speech making of the inauguration are any kind of a window into a smoother democracy in the year ahead or not.
You know, that's a great point. I have a relative. I'm not going to say that I'm married to her, but I am, who is a little bit worried about the various leftover Trumpian actors who are around, and said that she's depressed by the whole thing because she thinks, we have seen examples in history, like in Germany, in which a minority takes over. What do you make of that?
I don't think it's out of we're out of the woods yet by any means. The president used the term uncivil war on Wednesday. The term that I have kind of been using in my own head is soft civil war. I think, there are still tens of millions of people who don't believe that Joe Biden is legitimate and don't want to give him any quarter at all. There are also, to be sure, even in the hours before you and I just got on the phone, there's reporting that both the QAnon folks and the Proud Boys folks are sort of folding their tents a little bit in depression and disgust that they feel that Trump is weak and they're moving on. They, of course, were the most rabid of the forces. So do those rabid forces become a spent force because they feel like, their maximum potential leader has let them down? Potentially so.
You know, David Hawkins, you are a guy who has been around Washington and knows so much about reading the tea leaves. So I'm going to ask you a tea leaves question, and that is this. How much do you think that Biden's need for cooperation with the Republican Party will lead to his downplaying what should be done in terms of holding Trump and the Trumpets responsible? In other words, if criminal wrongdoing can be seen, if so many of the prohibitions against doing what we think Trump did come to light, will Biden be likely to say, I don't want to proceed with this? Now, he has said his Justice Department is open to do whatever they want to do, and he's not going to interfere. Does he mean it?
So you're talking about beyond impeachment.
Yes.
What I hear you saying.
Yes.
Because I think Biden is stepping aside, and his rhetoric has been pretty clear that this is for Congress to figure out what it wants to do. This doesn't make for good radio, but too soon to tell. I think that he's going to let his Justice Department stand aside. I think there's he's going to stand aside while his Justice Department does its work. There's, of course, you are physically closer to this than I am, but the Attorney General of New York and the District Attorney in Manhattan are also continuing to work hard on their work. So I think maybe that will be the more stinging problems for the former president. My understanding from talking to some prosecutors is that actually getting an actual federal conviction in federal court and persuading a jury that there's a very short, solid, not even dotted line between what Trump said on the morning of January 6th, or even in the months and years before that, and what happened in the afternoon of January 6th would be hard to prove. So I'm going to, I guess I would, my tea leaf prediction would be Justice Department gets out of the way of that inciting an insurrection thing. Impeachment becomes the last word on that in Washington, and Trump's bigger problems lie with Cy Vance and Letitia James.
I hear you, and I agree with you. So what does it say about American institutions, David Hawkins, that we had an inauguration in the same spot as the massive, and it was massive, siege of the Capitol 2 weeks before?
Well, does it say, right, it says we're both fragile and resilient. I guess that's sort of almost become a cliche in recent days. But you're right. It was horrific in a sense, but also heartening in a sense to see, you know, when, I mean, for those who, maybe everybody else knows this, but you know, when the VIPs were introduced on Inauguration Day, the door they came through, the steps they came down, the arch they went under, was the very spot where some of the most violent assaults on the Capitol Police took place on the 6th. That was the door that the Capitol, there's some great reporting, that a whole phalanx of cops basically stood in that doorway to try and prevent the mob from coming in, not knowing that there were other aspects of the mob trying to get other doors, and they just assumed that if they let them come through, Congress would be overrun. So, yeah, it's an amazing thing that it is an amazing thing that we got our act together, that the mob was repelled, the vote got finished, the democratic process proved more resilient than the mob, at least in the short term.
David Hawkins, what is the legacy of Donald Trump? You know, it's so interesting that the social media has banned him. He's off to Mar-a-Lago. He doesn't have the plane anymore. He faces potential criminal charges, as you've just referenced. There was a lot of fear that he would, you know, continue on and be a presidency in exile. But early indications are that that ain't going to happen. I guess
those are the early, those are the early indications. And if that's the case, then his legacy is one of disgrace. I mean, I don't think there's any two ways about it. I think one of the sort of the amazing things about the Trump legacy is how totally self-propelled it was. I think when we, if you look back, I think that he had every opportunity to win re-election, and he squandered every one of those opportunities himself. If he had come out of Walter Reed Hospital in August wearing a mask and saying, "I've been scared straight and y'all should put on your masks," he would be our president today. On and on. You know, if the Democrats had nominated almost any of the other people who were running, he'd be the president today. And if he had not spent all of his energies in his final dozen weeks in office trying to stay in office against, you know, without any facts or legal justification, he might be remembered as a subpar president, but not a failed president or a disgraced president.
David Hawkins is editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government. He's also former senior editor of Congressional Quarterly and Roll Call. Thank you, David, for being with us. I appreciate it. And when we come back again, lots more questions.
Looking forward to it.